May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, one of the characters who features largely at this time of year is John the Baptist. We read of him in last week's Gospel from Mark. And this week we hear about him again in John's Gospel. We get hints of John the Baptist as far back as the prophet Isaiah in the 6th century BC. Isaiah prophesied the coming of John when he said, "A voice of one calling, 'In the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God.'" With hindsight, we can see how neatly this voice describes the prophet John the Baptist. John the Baptist confirmed this in John's Gospel when he said, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." We may remember John the Baptist from the story of his birth in Luke's Gospel. John's father was a priest named Zechariah, and his mother was Mary's cousin, Elizabeth. An angel had appeared to Zechariah and foretold that his barren wife would conceive a son and that he was to name him John. The angel also said to Zechariah that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that he would be filled with the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah, and that he would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We're told that John leapt in his mother Elizabeth's womb when a pregnant Mary came to visit her cousin. The unusual circumstances surrounding John's conception and his special stature as a prophet are confirmed in today's Gospel. We learn from today's Gospel that John the Baptist was sent from God. He was commissioned. He was sent with a clear purpose. He came to testify to the light, that is Jesus, the true light, who was coming into the world. Jewish leaders who had gone out into the wilderness near Bethany, outside Jerusalem, had questioned who John was. And they asked, "Are you Elijah?" Elijah was the prophet who many expected to return to herald the coming of the Messiah and God's kingdom. And John said, "No." But as we recall, Luke's Gospel did say that John would be filled with the spirit and the power of Elijah. Then they asked, "Are you the prophet?" Probably meaning Moses, who was expected by some to return and be instrumental in establishing God's kingdom of heaven on earth. But again, John said no. And he was quick and emphatic to say that "I am not the Christ." That particular point was important to establish because many believed that he was indeed the Messiah. As we saw last week, John prepared the people of the first century Palestine for the coming of the Messiah through a baptism of repentance and water. By repentance, by sincere regret, one is taking steps to straighten the path between oneself and God and clearing out the clutter. But John explained, "I'm only baptizing with water. One more powerful than I is coming, and he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." Prophets like Isaiah prophesied the coming of the Christ, the anointed one who would save and rescue God's people from sin and death. John was the last of the prophets to point to Jesus. He tells the Jewish leaders who were questioning his actions that the one to whom he points is already on earth. He says, "Among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie." John emphasizes the greatness of the one to come by reinforcing his own unworthiness in comparison. So he uses the word picture of undoing the sandals, the task of a slave. John is not even worthy to be a slave in the service of such a great one. Throughout the Bible, one finds prophecies foretelling the coming of Christ. In our first Old Testament reading from Isaiah, we hear some very familiar words. Isaiah prophesies and describes how the Lord's anointed one, or Messiah, will help the people. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me," the Messiah will say, "because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." These words of Isaiah's point to Jesus. And in fact, were spoken by Jesus in Luke's gospel at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus was in a synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, and he got up and someone handed him the scroll from Isaiah. And Jesus read these words and said this prophecy of Isaiah's was fulfilled in him. So John the Baptist and Jesus both spoke the words of the prophet Isaiah that applied to them. We've heard a lot from the prophets, and it's fitting that Paul should say in his letter to the Thessalonians, "Do not treat prophecies with contempt. They act as guideposts throughout history, revealing the history of salvation as we know it through the lineage of Jesus the Christ." But Paul says, "Recognize that there are false prophets as well, and to always take care to discern and test the spirit." The time frame for these prophecies can be confusing. Was Isaiah talking only about events that have now already happened? Or are the prophecies pointing to the future as well, to a time of rescue and restoration that lies ahead? Advent is a time to reflect that Jesus the Messiah has come, but will also come again at the end of time. Many of the prophecies, whilst already being realized in a past age, will be ultimately fulfilled at the end of time, when heaven and earth are made one and all shall be revealed. So you could say that the time in which we now live is incomplete. Until the Christ returns, we're challenged to do as Paul says: be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. These are all action words: be joyful, pray, give thanks. And be joyful, especially on this Gaudete Sunday. And being joyful and rejoicing is impossible to do on our own. We need to let the joy of Christ well up in our hearts. Intentionally be open to the spirit of Christ's love. Open to that deep joy, deeper than just happiness, and let it flow. I've mentioned before about the book study that some of us participated in regarding the book, The Great Spiritual Migration. And the crux of this book is to call us to love anew, to migrate towards a more loving way, for the church to renew its commitment to serving and loving the communities around us in more practical ways. And we can only do that if we strengthen that bond of love between ourselves and our Lord Christ Jesus. Intentionally seek the Lord each and every day. recognize his presence in one another and in the world around us. And then the joy, the prayer, and the thanks will indeed flow freely, ceaselessly through our hearts by the power of Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.